Order. I have 9:33. Let's see. Ms. Pakenham, would you do the roll for us?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Dr. Stenhouse?
Here.
Dr. Davis Wilson?
Present.
Dr. Davey?
Present.
Ms. Denton is absent, and Dr. Raitt's also absent, but you have a quorum.
Okay, great. Thank you. This meeting has entailed some juggling. So, board staff, thanks for fielding everything that came across, even in the last 12 hours. And so, appreciate that, and just the ongoing dedication to protecting the state, and my committee members also for their flexibility and adjusting the schedule a bit as well. A couple of things to note. I know some of you are on here to attend some of the agenda items. I'm going to announce some of the items we are not addressing. So those of you who are on here for those, you can either choose to stay on or jump off the call. So the first one that we will not be discussing due to quorum issues is agenda item number 5. It's a complaint hearing, complaint number 2235. Ruler Diab, we will not be hearing that today. The other item that we will not be hearing today is agenda item number 8, referring to potential unlicensed supervision provided by Chelsea Moore. So that one is off as well. And let's see. I need to move up back up to 6, discussion about complaint hearings for unlicensed practice for both Nadia Todd and Tristan Lyle. We will not be hearing that today either. So just giving you all a heads up. Ms. Pakenham, did I miss any items that we additionally will be covering that deal with people attending?
Mr. Chair, no, you did catch everything. So just by way of assurance, board staff will follow up with all the individuals who are impacted and provide updated notices for when these matters are rescheduled, but it will probably be January's CBA agenda.
Okay, thank you. And then just for reference to, we will not be discussing agenda items number 10, 11, and 12, and you can refer to the agenda to get clear specification of what those items are. Another point is regarding the continuing ed credits for BACB certification. I'm going to read a statement. The Board of Psychologist Examiners is approved by the BACB as an ACE continuing education provider. Attending a meeting of the Board's Committee on Behavior Analysts is eligible for continuing education credit for maintenance of BACB certification. However, these credits are not eligible for state licensure continuing education credits. To claim this credit, make note of the code words provided hourly throughout the meeting. To report the code words to board staff for purposes of earning continuing education credit, look for the link on the board's meeting page for this particular meeting. So, all right, let's move on to agenda item number 4, approval of minutes for October 31st, 2022. Do I have a motion to approve those?
So moved.
Okay, second?
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carries. All right, moving on to our applications. So this is discussion regarding the applications for approval for behavior analyst applicants to become licensed and being forwarded to the board for approval. We will be moving around the agenda somewhat. So, committee members, hold on. Here we go. First application we're going to hear is Antoinette McCauley. Dr. Dave, you're the lead on that.
Thank you very much. As soon as my fancy Adobe stops trying to read everything. Four more pages. And come on. Adobe didn't have enough coffee this morning, apparently. Do 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 do. 19, 20, 21, 22. Thank you. All right. Thank you very much, Dr. Steinhoff. Antoinette McCauley is coming forward for licensure in the state of Arizona. She became a licensed behavior analyst in 2015 and also held a certification in California as a pharmacy technician, as indicated by her her application. She attended National University, where she has a Master's of Arts in Teaching with a specialization in ABA. She completed her application in its entirety. She has also completed her experience as a behavior analyst, listing out several individuals that she's worked under. All of them have been in California, with the exception of her most recent position that is here in Arizona, which started in September. And so what I see here is that her supervised experience towards certification was done in California, and therefore licensure was not an issue. With regard to her hours, her California supervisors have signed off on over 1,500, 1,590 to be exact. Everybody was in compliance with having an active BACB, as well as having their ability to supervise being active. Supervisors completed their paperwork. They're all BCBAs in good standing. Further, board staff pulled California State Pharmacy information on the applicant, and her record there as a pharmacy technician shows no disciplinary action. You know, really the only question on the application I had is that the individual has been in the state of Arizona since September working. And I'm just interested to, she has listed out her Lauren Lentz, BCBA, LBA as her supervisor. And so I feel like that is a good step in the right direction. I see no issues with this and would have it move forward to the board for approval.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Davey. Next person you'll be reviewing is Elisa Santana.
Are you going to let me go all first? I even know we're having a show.
Absolutely. We've got this.
All right, I'm going to
limit looming. So you just keep on talking.
Okay? I just keep on talking. Well, people are going to be, they're really going to earn their credits today. All right, Ms. Santana comes forward for licensure. I believe board staff Z has already reached out to her. There was a couple of just typos on the application. I believe the newest one may be already uploaded, correct, Ms. Packenham? I think Ms. Malas put it up there.
Yeah, it went out this morning.
Great, and I think the if Ms. Santana's on, thank you for being so quick to respond to board staff to get that fixed. So if you have the original, you will note that on her application, she had indicated her certification date for, as becoming a BCBA as 2/28/23 versus time in most likely 2017. She put her expiration there, and so she was, we reached out to her to have that corrected. Individual went to school through Kaplan University, got a master's in science and psychology, subject area of ABA, completed her application in its entirety, listed out a supervised experience that occurred in California, and therefore licensure not required for that supervisor as we kind of roll into the supervisor section. There we have supervisor attesting to the experience. We have supervisor in good standing with the BCBA at the time, also completing their 8-hour supervision training. In reviewing the application with the acceptance, with the exception of the dates that we already reached out to the applicant about that have been fixed, it was actually a singular date. I'm good to have this one move forward. Just for reference to the board, I'd also question the 2005 start date, question 24 on experience, but that is indeed correct. That is a 2005 start date as a program manager with that agency prior to moving into, prior to becoming a BCBA. So move that one forward to the board as well.
Thanks, Dr. Davey. And next one is Nicholas Martin.
Yes, Nicholas Martin comes forward seeking licensure, became a BCBA in October 20th of 2022. Individual went through Ball State University, went through the Applied Behavior Analysis and Special Education Program, completed their application in its entirety, lists supervised experience in the state of Indiana with Rita Donahue as the supervisor there. Supervisor has actually, in this case, we have the final field work verification forms coming through that were submitted to the BACB and signed off by Ms. Donahue, the supervisor. The supervisor is in good standing with the BACB. Indiana does not have licensure as of today, and the individual had also completed their 8-hour supervision training. Have this one move forward to the board for full approval as well.
Okay, thank you. And let's see, next up is Daniel Hackett.
Yep, Daniel Hackett comes forward seeking licensure in the state of Arizona, indicates that he became a board certified behavior analyst in September of 2022. Further, completed their application in its entirety, listing Arizona State University's Master's in Arts and Special Education with the subject area of special education and applied behavior analysis, indicated that they have been supervised here in Arizona as they work towards their certification and licensure, listing out several LBAs that have served as supervisors over the course of his training and looking at, or I'm sorry, in her training. I apologize, Ms. Danielle. Looking at the information, we have all the supervisors were in good standing with the BACB, as well as in good standing with the supervision training, as well as having active Arizona State licenses at the time of them providing supervision to Ms. Danielle Hackett. I will just say for the note, starting on page 11 for the anyone following along on the committee, the yeses are very faint. I had to zoom in pretty tight to get those, Ms. Malice, to be able to see that they were somehow highlighted. So the yeses on page 11 of the PDF, 8 of 19 in the application, if you zoom in, 2 of 3, A through E are all yeses. 4 through 9, also yeses. And 11 through 12 are noes. Ms. Malice, if we just, as long as on your end you can see that better, they are quite faint on our end for the one from Ms. Darcy, from Laura Darcy, a PhD, BCBA, LPA. With regard to the other supervisors, also in good standing, also licensed in the state of Arizona at the time, or good standing with the BCBA, have the supervision training completed in the proper timeline, also licensed within the state of Arizona. We have final fieldwork verification forms coming forward as part of this packet there. I see no issues other than just those very faint yeses on the application. Then maybe we can just kind of make sure they're dark on the originals, and then this one can move forward as well.
All right, thank you. And last one, I think, for you is Ollie Regian, Dr. Davey again.
Yeah, I was actually very excited to see this application come through. Dr. Regian became a board certified behavior analyst in February of 2018. He's also a licensed psychologist in the state of California and provided his license number there. He went to the University of Texas, also did some work at Pepperdine, and then to Rokan College in Los Angeles, where he worked on got his PsyD in clinical psychology. Entered the application in its entirety, provided us a supervisor for his BCBA experience that's out of California, therefore no licensure during the supervised experience. The supervisor was in good standing with the BACB, as well as having the training modules in place. One interesting thing of note was that the School of Psychology was unable to produce records for us, and so it looks like board staff went forward to California Department of Consumer Affairs, Bureau of Private Post-Secondary Education to seek those transcripts. However, those transcripts do not exist anymore. There was a very nice letter that came from their administrative chief apologizing for that. It is in your packet, page 16 of 24. That being said, we can see later in the packet that he is an active license as a psychologist in the state of California in good standing with no disciplinary action. Nothing really else of note. I mean, that certification of licensure by the California Board of Psychology is page 20 of the PDF packet. Nothing else of note in this application, and would like to see it move forward to the full board.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Davey. All right.
One thing I would just put there, I don't know if the applicant's on the call, but just in terms of also being a psychologist, that since there is, in terms of scope of practice and practicing in the state of Arizona, I would encourage this individual to also look at licensure as a psychologist in the state of Arizona as well, just to make sure that we don't have any overlap in terms of scope of practice for this individual as he moves forward with his career here in Arizona.
All right, great. Thank you. All right, next application we'll hear is Omar Salinas. I'm the lead on that one. Mr. Salinas received his B-Space certificate in October 2022. He graduated in September of 2022 from the Chicago School of Professional Psychology with an MS in Applied Behavior Analysis. He received 1,527.22 hours of supervision under two BCBAs in Washington, D.C., which does not require licensure, and he also received supervision with three licensed behavior analysts in Maryland. I did not know any concerns for this application. Recommend that the board move forward for approval. next application we'll review is Sherry Wood. Again, I'm the lead on that. Ms. Wood received her BCBA certificate in August of 2015. She graduated in December of 2014 from Ball State University with a Master's of Arts in Applied Behavior Analysis. She received 1,708 hours of supervision under two BCBAs in Texas, which did not require licensure at the time of supervision. She is also a licensed behavior analyst in Texas in good standing. And I did not note any concerns with this application and recommend it forward to the board for approval. Next application is Yannick Espinoza. Mr. Espinoza received his BCBA certificate in February of 2016. He graduated in June of 2015 from Purdue University Global with a Master's of Science in Psychology and an emphasis in Applied Behavior Analysis, and also received his PsyD in July of 2020 from California Southern University in Clinical Psychology. He received 1,527.22 hours of supervision under two BCBAs in Washington, D.C., which does not require licensure, and three licensed behavior analysts in Maryland. Mr. Espinoza checked yes on item 12 of the application, provide documentation for a DUI misdemeanor in 2008, which was dismissed in 2015. And I have no concerns about that, as it's been over a decade without other incidents. Mr. Espinoza is a registered psychological association in California in good standing. Other than those items, I didn't know any concerns and recommend that it move forward to the board for approval. Next applicant is Shane Mannion, and I'm also the lead on that. Mr. Mannion responded to a formal additional information request, a FAIR. The FAIR requested information that Mr. Mannion received 1,561 hours under Ms. Geiger. That supervision occurred from August 27th of 2017 to October 2018. And we requested that Ms. Geiger provide evidence that he was overseeing implementing behavior analytic programs and that there was experience training, designing behavioral systems, and managing performance. Mr. Mannion sent a letter signed by Ms. Desai, who addressed the requested evidence. Well, the letter that was sent to us covered the requested documentation. Due to the rules of the board, that letter needs to be sent by Ms. Desai rather than by Mr. Mannion. So I recommend that a second request for information be sent to address this so that we can get the documentation as required by our board rules. Okay. All right. Okay, next application is Yvette Sierra. Dr. Davis-Wilson, are you able to discuss this application at this time? Okay. So let's move on to the next application.
Mr. Chair, I think she accidentally ejected herself from the meeting, which means we don't have quorum. Let's
oh okay
Let's pause for a moment. I'll text her.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Great.
Hey, Dr. Davis Wilson. Are you in a position to discuss the applications assigned to you at this time, or do you want to wait just a bit?
Yep, no problem.
Okay. All right, so we're on Yvette Sierra.
Hi. So Ms. Sierra completed her exam in October of 2022. She completed a master's at ASU in May of 2021. She did complete her supervised experience between October of 2019 and August of 2022 across two different sites for a total of five different LBAs, all of which were eligible to provide supervision at the time that they provided supervision. Ms. Sierra did answer yes to question number 12 related to an underage drinking charge that occurred over 12 years ago. Because of the underage nature of the charge and the fact that it was so long ago, there are no other records available. And she did supply us with multiple documents showing her due diligence to try to access those records. And I saw no issues with this application. I do recommend it be forwarded to the full board for approval.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right. Next application is Maria Arias. Ms. Arias received her BCBA certificate in August of 2019. She graduated in December of 2014 from National University with a Master's of Science in Applied Behavior Analysis. She received 1,545.85 hours of supervision under a BCBA in California, which does not require licensure. I didn't note any concerns with this application and recommend it for approval. Next application is Kaylin Harvett. Let's see, Dr. Davis-Wilson, you're the lead on that one.
Yeah, Ms. Harvett passed her exam in August of 2022. She did complete a master's in June of 2022 from Capella University in ABA. She received 1,500 hours of licensed supervision from an LBA from periods of January of 2021 to March 31st of 2022. And that particular LBA and the other LBA that was a responsible party were both approved and eligible to provide the supervision at the time of the supervision. Ms. Harvett did answer yes to question number 12 related to a misdemeanor DUI charge that she had. She supplied all the documentation as well as a letter explaining the circumstances. In review of the letter, and I know those that are on the call know that I'm a little bit harder on some of my lines of questioning around these issues. But when I was reviewing the letter, although I think that there's several things that, you know, perhaps she didn't need to share. I just wanted to note that I found it to be extremely helpful. I think that she outlined where her concerns were. She was very forthcoming. She was very thorough in her explanation, and she seemed quite genuine in understanding the consequences and how they pertain to just her day-to-day life, but then also how they pertain to her role as it would be as a licensed behavior analyst. And so I just wanted to note that for the record. I have no concerns with her application, and I do recommend that it be forwarded to the full board for approval.
Okay, great. Next application is Juan Ruiz. Mr. Ruiz received his BCBA certificate in July of 2022. He graduated in December of 2014 from National University with a Master's of Arts in Human Behavior. He received 1,392 hours of supervision under two BCBAs in Hawaii, which did not require licensure at the time of supervision, and an additional 240 hours under a licensed behavior analyst in New York for a total of 1,632 hours. I did not note any concerns with this application and recommend it forward to the board for approval. All right. Next application, we will be not addressing Elena Callis, and that will go to the board for review at this point. And then the last application we'll be reviewing for general licensure or initial licensures is Jamie Scourfield, and Dr. Davis-Wilson, you're the lead on that.
Yes, thank you. So Ms. Scourfield is responding to our request for additional information. Ms. Scourfield originally applied for supervision and was only able to provide a total of 1,000 hours towards the supervision that would be eligible. Ms. Scourfield did spend this time collecting additional hours under a LBA here in Arizona, and she has provided documentation of the completion of those hours, which I do believe completes her application, and I would recommend that it be forwarded to the full board for approval.
Dr. Davis-Wilson, just a quick check on that. In the FAIR, it was requested that we got a letter from Ms. Blakely. I'm just looking for her application right now, but did that letter get sent? Are you aware in the application? I may have missed it.
Let me double check as well. I thought it did in the first one, and then we still had to determine that we would count those hours, but that she was still short 500.
Gotcha.
Let me double check. Because I think we sent the original like FAIR, and only part of the answer of the FAIR came back, and that we determined that the at that time, we determined that we had the information necessary to accept the 1,000 hours, but that she would still be short that 500. And so then we kicked it back. So there were two FAIRs. The first one was related to both the 1,000 hours and the other. And then the second, but let me double check.
I'm looking.
Oh, maybe I have the FAIRs mixed up, that we requested it in the second FAIR.
Okay.
And if that's the case, then no, I do not believe we have it, and that is a good catch. I don't know if Ms. Scourfield's on the phone.
I am.
Were you able to receive the letter that we requested from your supervisor? And did you pass that along to the board?
From Dr. Amanda Kelly, but you guys had like a disciplinary action against her possibly. We misunderstood the form and did it as an employment, I believe. And so those hours were not counted, but we decided, or you guys decided, that the 1,000 hours could be counted as long as I got the 500 here in Arizona. So I completed those. And yes.
Well, the letter also requested a letter from Mr. Blakely. So were you able to obtain and submit the letter from Mr. Blakely?
I don't recall a request for that.
If you look at page one of the second additional information request dated July 6th of 2022, it's at this time the committee is requesting the following, and it's item number one on there.
I'm remembering now. I believe Dr. Blakely submitted a letter.
Mr. Chair, I'm communicating with Ms. Malice, and she is stating that we don't have the letter from Mr. Blakely.
Okay. Then, good catch on that. Dr. Senhoff, I apologize. I had my two requests mixed up. But in the second one, that was the request. It was not requested in the first one. And so therefore we would need that letter. I would be okay if we can get that letter between, now and Friday, if board staff can get, an attestation that says, yes, she, the individual was observed, mm-hmm. and that was an error and that can get corrected, that'd be fine. I think that if the response is that the individual was not observed, I guess my concerns would go back to two parts. One would be that the BACB also requires those observations, not just us. And then two, that we, our statutes do clarify that those contact hours have to be present.
I guess,
Chair, if you don't mind, can we ask Ms. Garfield, you know, if the supervisor selected that no, you were not observed, you know, conducting behavior analytic services by the individual supervisor?
Okay, so what we did is I submitted information from Matt Potak and Selena Jordan, and those were the people who did my oversight, and you, I believe at the time, approved that.
I see.
So, do you see that information?
So let me ask you this. So you had, I remember now, thank you. So you had, Mr. Blakely was like, he was like the oversight of the program, but he wasn't the one doing the observations. Instead, the observations were being done by Mr. Potak and Ms. Jordan.
And they filled out forms, yes, correct.
Yes, and that between the three of them, I remember that. So, okay. So, yes. So, Dr. Davey, or Dr. Senhoff, I apologize. I guess you're both here. I'll address both of you. Yes, so that is what had happened. This was the one where he had filled out the form as kind of the person who over, you know, who saw the whole program, but then he selected no because he didn't do the observation. But during that time, she was indeed observed, but it was by other supervisors. So the additional information has also been provided to us.
Great. Okay. All right. Thank you. So, recommend, just to make sure that we're on the same page, recommendation to move forward to the board for approval on that?
I am, and I would just like to state for, you know, the record again that these are the circumstances that are very helpful to have applicants on the phone. And so when applicants don't attend, and, you know, we see a lot of documentation, everybody, you know, kind of had to pinch hit at different points in this particular meeting because we had, you know, it's flu season, things are going on, it's holiday season. So I just wanted to, for the record, state how much I appreciate, one, Ms. Garfield going through all of this, because I know this has been a process for her, but two, also being available for answering these questions, because that was immensely helpful. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. I appreciate your time.
Thanks, Ms. Garfield, again, for being here. Appreciate it. Okay. All right. So, last, we have an application for licensure by universal recognition. I'm the lead on that one. Raquel Huntington, Ms. Huntington is seeking licensure through universal recognition. She's been licensed in Utah since July of 2019, Hawaii since July of 2020, which satisfies the adopted substantive policy statement requiring an applicant to be licensed in another state for at least 12 months. Ms. Huntington provided evidence of residency with her Arizona voter ID card. I did not know any concerns with the application, recommended it go forward to the board for approval as well. Okay, so can, if there's no more discussion regarding any of the applications, can we have a motion to move those forward to the board, as noted by board staff? Of the requirements.
So moved.
I don't believe that I can make the motion or the second, so that'll have to come from you guys.
Yeah, I'll make the motion. So moved, Dr. Stenhoff.
Okay, I'll I guess second. So all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries. All right, thank you, everybody. All right, so let's see. Next set of agenda item we'll cover is discussion, consideration, possible action regarding license reinstatement requests and recommendations to the board. The first one is Dana Cruz. Dr. Davis Wilson, you're the lead on that.
Yes. So Ms. Cruz had a license that expired in October 31st of 2022. She did note the expiration and remediated it by requesting renewal by November 10th. Because the time frame of the requested renewal was within the time frame that the board that board staff could process the renewal, however, they would only be able to move forward if the individual did not attest to practicing. But because the individual attested to practicing during that time, they have forwarded it to us for our review. In review of what was stated by Ms. Cruz for the amount of time that she did practice, she did state that while she was unaware that her license had expired during that time, she was actively being supervised within her place of employment by an LBA. And so in review of all the documentation, I do recommend that this be forwarded to the full board with a recommendation for approval for the reinstating of the license, and then a second recommendation to review and consider whether or not a complaint should be opened against Ms. Cruz on the unlicensed practice.
Okay. All right. Thank you. And Ms. Cruz is on the call. Ms. Cruz, do you have any comments to make regarding this at this time? Or? All right. Thank you. All right. Next item is Amy Dalmondre. Dr. Davis Wilson, again, you're the lead on that.
Absolutely. Thank you. So Ms. Dalmondre, her application actually expired in August 31st of 2022. She did not submit the renewal application until November 15th of 2022. Ms. Dalmondre both acknowledged that she had practiced without a license during the period in which she had the lapse in the license after the expiration until she realized that it was licensed. She did acknowledge that she has ceased all independent practice since that time, since she realized what had happened. She did also, because the renewal does require proof of continuing education credits, she did submit the required continuing education credits, but they are noted to have occurred during that kind of lapsed time as well. And so before us today, we have both the review of what to do regarding the reinstatement of the license, the practicing without a license, and then of course with the reinstatement, that review of the CEs. It does appear that Dr. Reitz has reviewed the CEs and is in agreement that they are CEs that do meet that recommendation or the requirements. And so I believe in the past that has been sufficient to recommend this to be forwarded to the board with the recommendation of an approval for the reinstatement of the license. And then again, the second piece of that would be to request an additional meeting agenda item for a future review of a potential opening of a complaint for the unlicensed practice.
Okay. All right, thank you. And I do note that Ms. Dalmondre is on the call. Do you have any further comments about this? Or?
No further comments, just if there's anything else you guys need from me during this time. I was always supervised under an LPA, so I'm happy to provide any like supplemental information as well to help with this moving forward.
Okay, great. Thank you. All right.
I do have a question on that for, and Ms. Galvin, you may, it's for you, but you may ask that we go into executive session, but I guess for me procedurally, if we have, I'm thinking of a circumstance that we had before if we have this information and we've got applicants that were like, look, you know, whatever our infrastructure of the company, you know, requires that this licensed supervision happens anyway, whether, you know, I personally, my company runs the same way, like my, even my licensed BCBAs are meeting with a superior on you know, a twice weekly basis, if not weekly, if not more, to go over cases and case consult and stuff like that. So I guess my question is, if they have that information, would that be something that would be helpful for them to provide ahead of a future agenda item just to the board so it can be considered at that time? Or would it be something that we would request at that meeting, like, or can we just not answer that? And what's, you know, I guess it's just a procedural question.
Heidi, and I apologize. I stepped away for a few minutes. Is this something that you want to field?
Yes, Mr. Chair, if you don't mind, I was just going to comment. I mean, I do think that when we notice individuals in these circumstances where, you know, there's a potential investigation, or the committee's contemplating a recommendation of opening an investigation into, you know, practicing on a lapse license, we should invite the subject of that situation to submit any information they feel is relevant or germane, you know, to the circumstances. And that way the committee has the benefit of, you know, looking at the full picture when evaluating the matter.
Perfect. Thank you. That answers my question. So I appreciate that.
Yes, Mr. Chair, just one other thought. I mean, I guess our notice would be stated just that broadly. We would not, we wouldn't sort of prompt any from the potential respondent. We wouldn't prompt for anything necessarily that specific, right? We would say, you know, please supply any, you know, factual information, any supporting documentation you feel, because this, what you're describing, may be very relevant to the cases that you're looking at today, or the potential cases that you're looking at today. But future cases, there may be other information that we don't know what to prompt for. So it would be just a very general request.
Understood. And yeah, that was that's what made me ask the question is, you know, early on in the committee, you know, back 2018 or so, we did have an individual who had a lapse and reported kind of the practicing, but wasn't actually like practicing when, you know, when they submitted the information, and it was like a maternity leave type situation. So, so I was just curious, because I think for me, I think the concern comes down to, like, if we reinstate and then we do a future agenda item for the discussion of opening a complaint, and we have no information, then we open the complaint and we get this information that would have helped at the discussion stage. Now, you know, now there's been a complaint open. So I just wanted to make sure that that, you know, there's at least a process. I understand that, you know, we don't know what information we would even need, but that there would at least be a process in some circumstance, or in any of the circumstances, I suppose, where people could respond and say, hey, just FYI, I know you have this on the agenda. Here's supporting documentation. And there's no guarantee with that supporting documentation of what direction the meeting agenda will go either way, but it most definitely would help rather than, you know, just kind of looking at the reinstatement and kind of having to guess around some of that.
Okay, so do I have a motion to move those two applications forward to the board for approval of reinstatement?
Yep, so moved.
Second?
I'll second.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Okay, motion carries.
Mr. Chair, right. Can I interject for just a moment? I see that Ms. Moore did arrive at the meeting, so she did not have the benefit of hearing what you announced early in the meeting, which is because of quorum issues, we're going to postpone her agenda item to a future agenda. I'm sorry for the inconvenience, but it's just something that we need to do from to comply with the open meeting law.
So much. I appreciate you letting me know.
I'll notice you of the rescheduling.
Okay. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Okay. Let's see. Okay. So we're moving down to agenda item number 13. So suggestions for new agenda items for future meetings. Do we have any of those? Ms. Pakanon brought this up earlier, but we may want to have a discussion regarding, procedures moving forward for missing renewal and practicing and ways to streamline that whole process from if there was a missed renewal. And in fact, the behavior analyst did provide services, ways that we might move forward with that in a more efficient way, perhaps. I don't know if I quite captured that, Ms. Pakanon, but something along those lines.
Yes, Mr. Chair, that I think you did a very nice job of explaining sort of what what staff anticipates, assembling and preparing for your consideration. So consistency is the other element of that. I think that's, important that we have just sort of this procedure we consistently follow. It's transparent. It's, while affording the, everyone involved their due process, we are also, expeditiously in arriving at the appropriate outcome in this case, in every case. So,
okay, thank you. Any other items? Okay. Well, hearing none. I wanted to ask this. This is, I guess, for my fellow BCBAs on here, but we are under 1 hour, but we are at 50 minutes into the session. Can we move forward with a CE credit for this under, psychologist or counseling rules, so to speak, of the 50-minute session?
Mr. Chair, yeah, the ACE provider requirements would allow for the 50 minutes, as, again, the 50 minutes kind of covers the content. I do want to note that had this just been application reviews, general application reviews where we're just like review, recommend approval, review, recommend approval, that would not meet the CEU objectives that would be allowable. But the reason why I'm not the board's ACE coordinator, but I am an ACE coordinator in my other job, I would count this because we did have discussion around unlicensed practice. We did have discussion around importance of, reinstating licenses on time. And then we also covered some, self-reporting of DUIs and just some other content. So I would say that this would count, and I would do a code word, and I would, I would support, and I'm happy to answer Dr. Rates' questions if needed. I would be happy to support it.
I concur. So, Dr. Davey, do you have anything else to add to that?
No, but if I could think of something, we'd probably get even closer to the time.
I know. Yeah. Let's just, stretch this. So what code is this? Exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
So exactly what ethics code would you like me to cite? Would you like me to use this responsibility to stakeholders? I mean, you can start rattling off things. All right.
Yeah.
Then I'll make it. Yeah, so.
All right. So, Ms. Malice, so we don't neglect you. Do you have a word for us?
Yes, I do, Mr. Chair. The word for today's meeting is jingle. Jingle. Thank you.
Jingle. Thank you.
Dr. Senoff, one thing, I just would like to say, even though today seems like it went fast, like the amount of work that board staff put in to get us prepared, last minute stuff that Ms. Malice was doing this morning after I emailed her late last night, uploading documents. I know that Heidi and Jennifer were on that as well. And so just want to thank board staff for their efforts.
Yeah.
I agree.
Definitely. Okay. All right. Well, I hope everybody has a nice holiday season. And with that, let's move into number 14, adjournment. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
So moved. I'll second.
Okay. All right. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay. Motion carries. Meeting's adjourned.
Thank you. And thank you, Dr. Senoff.